Hello and welcome back to the Friends on 15th podcast, coming to you from the Friends Center located at 15th and Cherry Streets, downtown Philadelphia. Today is September the 5th, 2019, and it's a little cloudy today, not with a chance of meatballs, but the weather has certainly begun feeling a bit fallish here in the city of brotherly love. I am your host, Jennifer Lee, and joining me today are my co-hosts, Shakira, who is our event and admin manager, and Chris, our executive director.
Good morning, and I want to remind you, Philadelphia is also the city of sisterly affection.
Yes, brotherly love and sisterly affection.
I like that.
Oh, and just a reminder, Shakira can help you and your nonprofit hold its meetings or its conference here at our historic facility. And if you would like to give her a call, you can reach her at 215-241-7098. And I'm sure she'd be happy to assist you. In just a few minutes, we have some very wonderful and interesting guests coming up. The executive director of CASA Philadelphia, Happy Grillin, and the program assistant / CASA volunteer, Yael Liner. Yael Liner of CASA Philadelphia. And they are attendants here. But first, I want to just kind of backtrack and catch up with you guys. We just had a great Labor Day weekend. Shakira, anything interesting, Chris?
I don't think so. I think I rest this weekend. I've been having long weekends for the past 2 months, so I'm about to get back in the swing of things of working.
Okay, I had a pretty good weekend. I feel like I can't, like, right now remember what it was, but it was good.
It was good, right?
Yeah.
That's usually a good sign.
Yes, it was great. I mean, we went to church. My husband had a birthday. Yeah, that was very nice. So I've been doing, like, a lot of lobster. I did. I bought some live crab, and I cooked him some crabs, and I made him some lobster, and he was very happy.
Maybe we should make this cooking on 15th.
I'm cooking on 15. This is a lot of people to cook for with all
right.
The tenants here.
Exactly.
But Girls Inc. Camp has ended. Girls Inc., if you don't know who they are, naughty you should have checked out our last podcast because they are some wonderful ladies that we got a chance to interview. So please go back to our last podcast. Check out all the great things that they have going on. And see what new and upcoming and interesting programs they are starting for the fall. Also, French Child Care has ended their camp. So some of their campers have gone on to kindergarten.
And we've seen some of them on Instagram starting in their new classes at new schools. They look so excited.
That's so sweet. Oh, I did. Where I did see a few pictures. Yeah, that's nice. And Trico.
Tri-College Consortium, back to school for them too.
Yes, the students have come. They had the orientation over the weekend.
Just big ups to Eric, who came in over the holiday and gave them a tour of the building. Hey, Eric.
Yay, Eric.
Thanks for your help.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your love cup.
So I want to just go back to our guest. We have Happy Grillin here, who is the executive director of CASA Philadelphia. Hi, Happy.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Happy.
Good morning. Hi, good morning. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Oh, I'm glad you're here. And hi, Yael. Yael is the program assistant and CASA volunteer.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, ladies. We're so happy to have you.
All right, so Happy, we are excited to have you here. Jennifer did a great job at introducing you, and we just want to bring you in and have you tell us a little bit about CASA.
Great. So I'll start with CASA is Court-Appointed Special Advocates of Philadelphia County. We're not a housing program, like our name might suggest, but we are Court-Appointed Special Advocates. So we are a volunteer organization that trains community volunteers to be advocates for children in the foster care system in Philadelphia County. So we are appointed to cases by family court judges, and then our volunteers get 30 hours of pre-service training, and then they get assigned to a supervisor and a case, and their job is really to be the voice of that child or the sibling group in court. They go out and they visit with the child every month. They talk to everyone involved in the child's life. That's their teachers, their therapists, their doctors, their foster parents, their parents, medical providers, really anyone you can think of that you'd want information from in order to know how a child is doing and in order to be able to make really good recommendations about what's needed or what's missing or what should continue. And that all goes into a court report, which gets submitted to the judge and the attorneys involved in the case. And the judge uses that information to make best interest decisions for children. So our volunteers really play a big role in informing the court about what's going on outside of court in the child's life in order for decisions to be made that affect that child's future.
That was extremely thorough.
It was.
Thank you. No, it really was, because I didn't realize that was, you know, like you guys had done so much. And, you know, for the obviously the best interest of the child, I have did kinship with my niece for almost 4 years, and I didn't realize that so much behind the scene, you know, went into making sure that the children are safe and happy.
I think that's a really eye-opening experience for our volunteers as well, and just like knowing that the system is so much bigger and there's all these things going on. You see the child, but you don't realize all these things that are going on behind the scenes that they may or may not be aware of, but that are affecting them. Mm-hmm. So we had a volunteer, just to illustrate this, who had been a teacher in Philadelphia for 30 years, and she had, of course, had kids in her classroom who had been in foster care, but it wasn't until she came to our training and became a CASA volunteer that she said, my mind was blown, because I really had no idea that all of this stuff was going on in this child's life, and that I maybe could have communicated with people a little differently had I known, like, all these, the people that were involved. So I think, you know, family court is a private, it's confidential. People really don't know what's going on except for what they hear in the media or how it's portrayed in the media, and sometimes it's not parade.
Right.
It's, you know, you don't hear the bad stories, you don't hear the good stories. You also don't get, you know, the media doesn't always portray it very accurately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think our organization provides a really interesting opportunity for people to get a glimpse inside what really happens.
Wow.
And how complicated and difficult these decisions are.
So what kind of topics do you cover in the 30 hours of training, and then what kind of scaffolding?
Yeah, so the training is really kind of a crash course in the child welfare system, everything from the legal system and the laws that guide the child welfare system to the impact of trauma, of domestic violence, substance abuse, mental health, those kind of things that affect the families that we work with. So understanding child development, I mean, it really is kind of cramming a college course into 30 hours, but we do it through using case examples and having volunteers practice making recommendations and doing interviews and then those kind of activities that prepare them. And then they are paired with one of our professional staff who are social workers who then guide them once they get a case. So they're never on their own doing this. They are supported throughout the process by our staff.
Great. And how often do you hold trainings?
So we do trainings 4 times a year. We do basically winter, spring, summer, fall. We do winter and summer in the daytime, and then we do fall and spring in the evening. So we try to accommodate both working and non-working volunteers that way. So, and that works pretty well. So someone who's interested can basically apply anytime during the year, and our volunteer coordinator, Grace, will talk them through what, you know, which training would fit their, you know, their schedule the best.
Yes.
And do it that way.
Where can they go to volunteer?
So you can get our application on our website, which is www.casaphiladelphia.org. And if you hit the volunteer tab, it'll take you to some frequently asked questions and answers. And then there's the link to the application, which you can fill out online. You can also call us at 267-519-5326 and leave us a voicemail, and our volunteer coordinator can get back to you.
Are there any specific requirements for volunteers?
Yes. So you need to be 21 years of age. That's the first basic one. And you need to be able to pass background checks to be able to have contact with children.
Yes.
But, you know, besides those, really the big thing is a willingness to commit to the experience. The biggest thing is that we ask volunteers to commit 2 years of service, and it's a big ask. And because the reason for that is because that's the average time it takes a case to work its way through the child welfare system, and we want to try to minimize the amount of adults and people changing in children's lives. They already have so many changes and so much trauma when they enter the system, and unfortunately, their case manager may change, their attorney may even change, the judge may change. So we want to try to not add to that change for the child. And so volunteers who make that commitment sometimes are the consistent adult from the sort of child welfare side of things that can be the consistent person in that child's life. So it is a big commitment. And we tell people on average, we think it's about 10 to 12 hours of time a month of time visiting the child and then emailing and phone calling mostly to outreach to all those people in the child's life. And then preparing your court report and coming to court 4 times a year. So they have court quarterly every 90 days.
Yeah.
Do the children have their own court-appointed attorneys, or how does that
usually Yeah, so all of the attorneys and all the children do have an attorney that's appointed to them by the court. So they do have legal representation in the courtroom, but the attorneys have very high caseloads and they are not going out and visiting children. They're really doing the court representation, and so the CASA volunteer is a support to that process because they're the ones actually going out and having a relationship and getting to know the child and the people in the child's life.
And as I'm sitting here, I'm shaking my head and I'm just replaying in my mind all of the things, well, not all, but a lot of the things that I had experienced over the 4 years of being a foster care or a
kinship
provider. And it was a time when things were changing over to the CUAs. So I remember our case changing hands so many times. And unfortunately, I did not have a very good experience with that, with, mm-hmm. Changing attorneys and the CUA workers. And so it is really a lot to work out. And it is a lot on the child to have so many people. And I realized that the first time I walked out of court, like I sat in the waiting area and I had mom and the attorney and someone else all trying to come over and talk to me at once, and I felt like my head was spinning. It was so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And that was my first thought, was like, how am I going to not transfer this feeling to the child? How can I manage all of this? Because you don't realize how invasive it is, with having so many people that you have to answer to, because you want to support this child. So there's a lot of people to work with, but I'm happy to hear of the support that CASA is giving, and I wish I would have known about CASA when I was doing kinship care, because it was I wanted as much support as I could, because initially we thought it was going to be a couple weeks or a couple months, and it turned into almost 4 years. So I did not realize that it was such a big commitment when I first stepped into it. But I like that you tell the volunteers up front, and ask for 2 years, because it's a big process.
Yeah, and we do have the majority of our volunteers do make that commitment, and some will stay on. So if a case is turning into 3 and maybe 4, we have had volunteers, if they're able, will stay with the case until the end.
And so,
as long as their life allows them and their schedule allows them to do that. But I think you bring up a really good point that foster care is very... It's a lot. We ask a lot of foster and kinship parents. We ask you to take care of the child, but what people don't really know a lot about is all the other pieces that come along with that.
Yeah.
That you are now involved with a very complex system and a lot of people and court, which is intimidating and confusing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes along with that. So we hope that our CASA volunteers can at least be a sounding board and at least a support for people in that way as well.
We appreciate you and the volunteers like Yael that you have coming and willing to step up to provide support, to provide whatever it is that this child may need going forward.
And how does a child get an advocate? Like, do every child in the system, are they provided with the advocate, or do you have to know about CASA in order to, have help?
So every child is appointed to an attorney in family court. Philadelphia is a large county. We have the highest number of children in care of the rest of Pennsylvania combined, I believe.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it's close to 6,000 children. So there are a couple of different ways that children are represented in Philadelphia. The Defenders Association of Philadelphia has a child advocacy unit, and they have an attorney paired with a social worker, and that's their model. So some children are appointed to them. And then the Support Center for Child Advocates, which is another organization, they have pro bono attorneys that are paired with social work staff. And so a child could be appointed to the Support Center, or they can get a private attorney, private bar attorney, which is an attorney who is a family law attorney that works for themselves. Mm-hmm. And those are the cases that judges in Philadelphia County can appoint CASA to. So it's really at the attorney or the judge's request that CASA gets appointed on those cases. Often it can be a case where a judge or an attorney knows we're going to need extra help with this. There's a lot of things going on. It may be a large sibling group. It may be a group of children with a lot of special needs. So they often give us some of the more difficult cases because they know they need someone who's going to help them sort through all the needs of these children in order to make good decisions.
How long has CASA been around?
CASA of Philadelphia has been here since 2006. As an organization nationally, it started in the 70s. So it's a little more than 40 years old.
Yeah, about how many CASAs are there around the country?
So there's almost 1,000 CASA local CASA programs around the country in 50 states and the District of Columbia.
Wow.
Nice.
But we are a private nonprofit organization, so we are under the umbrella. We work under the national guidelines and use the curriculum of National CASA, but we are an independent organization, so we're responsible for all of our own funding, fundraising, and operate as a nonprofit.
So if someone was interested in making a donation, how could they do that?
So they can always give us a donation. There's a donation button on our webpage. They can send a check to CASA of Philadelphia at the Friends Center. They could also support us by participating in our Superhero 5K that we do every October.
Sounds like fun.
You can wear a superhero cape or be your favorite superhero. So that's coming up. You can sponsor a runner. You can sign up and run yourself and raise money. We also do a spring gala in May, which is a really fun event. Good food and award ceremony and silent auction. So that's another way you can look for that. That'll be coming up in May. And we also started 3 years ago a speaker series. We wanted to bring together people in the community that have an investment in child welfare and regional, local, even national experts on subjects related to child welfare to do training. So we started a speaker series in November of 2016. We have our, I think about our 10th speaker series event coming up next Friday.
Impressive.
And yeah, so it's been really great, really a great cross-section of people from the community. So it leads to really good discussions about the topics. Our upcoming one is on the Families First Act, which is new legislation that's going to impact how child welfare is administered across the country. We've done other ones on subjects like working with children with incarcerated parents.
That's a big part of it. I've heard a lot. I've taken many trainings, and that's, you don't realize how many children in the system, outside of having so much going on, they just don't even have the parent around. Because fortunately for me, the child that I was caring for, her parents were not incarcerated. But, when you have to go with a stranger and, go to a new school, have all these new people that you have to interact with, and you don't even have your parent is not available,
right.
Because unfortunately, I know you guys do scheduled visits with the parents.
Yeah.
But, when the parent is not even available to be there, as a support to the child, that just makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And it affects a large percentage of our kids.
Are these, series brought into, different schools? Because a lot of these folks work with kids, and I feel like, from what you're saying, it sounds like a lot of people who work right directly with children need these kind of trainings, and I don't really think they have those trainings. So when they have children in classrooms or after school programs, and they see certain behaviors from these kids, they don't really understand because they don't really think about it. They don't know what's going on in a child's home because it's just not said that, oh, this child, you know, is in foster care or their parent is incarcerated. So they don't really know. So how would one get more information about these specific series that you host?
Shakira, that was a great question, and I look forward to hearing Happy's answer. But we're going to let Chris take us into a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to let Happy give us expound on an answer for us on how we can get this kind of information out to schools, teachers, and people who are interacting with children outside of CASA.
You're listening to Friends on 15th, the podcast coming to you from the Friends Center, 15th and Cherry Streets in Center City, Philadelphia. Friends Center is the Quaker hub for peace and justice in Philadelphia, and we're home to more than 40 nonprofit tenants like CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates of Philadelphia. We also have conference and event space for your next meeting. We always have a nonprofit discount. You're also welcome to join Central Philadelphia Friends meeting for Quaker worship on Sundays at 11 a.m. Now, back to Friends on 15.
Welcome back, everyone. So if you were listening, I was just asking Happy about how, you know, different organizations and different schools can learn more about these CASA series. And I think Happy was about to let us know.
Yeah, our series is open to anyone to attend. We're listed on Eventbrite. We'd be glad to share. You know, anyone can share our flyer. I send it out to our mailing list. If anyone would like to be added to our mailing list, they can give me a call or send an email to happy.grillin@casaphiladelphia.org, and I'd be glad to put you on our mailing list so you'll know about it. We'd love to reach more people. I think it would be great if we had teachers. It's hard because they're teaching during the day, so it's probably not going to be the thing for them to attend. But, you know, to get the information out about our series would be great. Oh, we do ask for a donation for our speaker series, but it's not required. We want anyone who wants to attend to be able to attend. So please don't let that shy, you know, make you not attend. However, if you're an attorney, we do offer continuing legal education credits for our speaker series. So with that in mind, we hope you join us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And I just wanted to speak to Yael Liner, who is the program assistant for CASA and also a CASA volunteer. Can you just let us know what your role is and how you contribute to CASA Philadelphia and how volunteering has impacted you?
Sure. I became a volunteer almost 2 years ago. I was assigned my first case after going through the training that Happy spoke about. And that part aside, I learned so much about what CASA, the organization, does. So I was so excited by them that I applied to work here.
Wow.
And started a few months ago as the program assistant. So right now I'm really assisting the educational decision-making side of CASA and helping aggregate data.
Yeah, she's helping us manage our data and our caseload. She's our only program assistant, so she's providing administrative support really to help us continue to grow.
And do you track outcomes of the children that you've worked with?
That's the goal, yes.
And where are you in that collection process?
So at this point, I'll take that. We collect a lot of output data, I would say. So we are tracking why kids come in, what services they get when they're here, and what their outcome is when the case gets closed. We are looking at ways that we can better track some of the well-being, maybe our impact on well-being. It's a little tricky because we are not the only player in that. There's a lot, as we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of components to decision-making that go into these cases. So it's sometimes a little difficult to isolate our direct impact. So it's somewhat anecdotal, but we are working on ways to try to better connect the activities of our volunteers with the outcomes of children. So we're in process of doing that, and it's a work in progress, I would say.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, further to what you were speaking about earlier, it's pretty rewarding because I've been the probably one of two consistent faces in my two kids' life in the last 2 years. They've bounced around I think, 5 foster homes right now. So, and there's been school changes. So
you have to, they have to make new friends.
Exactly.
I mean, I figure, especially depending on the age group, there's only so many things that their world is made up of. So, you know, their caretaker plus school and friends, that's like the majority. Yeah, so getting moved around.
Yeah,
so
and
much,
speaking about like measuring impact, so what's the impact when a child has to move foster homes and then the CASA volunteer shows up at that new foster home? That's a big impact for that child. Like, oh, you came and saw me, you didn't forget about me,
right,
I'm not
right.
lost.
Oh.
That's a hard thing to measure in terms of an outcome. But I think those are the kind of impacts that it makes when people make the kind of commitment that Yael has made.
Yeah. And have you worked with 2 separate cases, or was this a sibling group?
They're siblings. They're 2 brothers, 10 and 11 years old. They're part of a larger sibling group, which is why CASA was assigned, one of the reasons.
So they're together, but
so
not
together.
With all the other siblings.
Correct.
Wow.
So I attend, we do help coordinate sibling visits.
That's
so
wonderful.
All 7 of them will get together once a month.
Oh, good.
It's really nice to see.
Good.
Has that been rewarding for you? I mean, obviously.
It has. I mean, you
can
see me smiling.
Right.
This organization has done a lot for the children of Philadelphia, but also for the citizens of Philadelphia who want to give back. And just, I'm not an attorney, I'm not a social worker. So it's been really rewarding to be able to have this experience through CASA.
Yeah, I think Yael brings up a good point. People often think they need to be an attorney or a social worker to be a CASA volunteer, and that is absolutely not true. I think that our greatest asset is that we have a lot of diversity in our volunteers. So it doesn't matter if you work in finance or you work in corporate America, you can make an excellent CASA volunteer, and so don't hesitate to consider it based on not having a background in this area.
Just have an open, true, and
yes.
honest heart to
right.
care for little
mm-hmm.
people.
Thank you.
I just was thinking about when my child had to leave after 4 years, and I didn't realize that the process was so immediate, and it was like they had gone to court that morning, and then my worker came and was like, okay, you have to pack her up. And I was like, today? I was like, yeah, she has to go today. I was like, wow. I just wasn't expecting, you know, that. So things can turn around really quickly. And it was great because she got to go back with mom. But then afterwards, you know, I didn't realize that it was so, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off.
Yeah, it's a big adjustment for your family, too. The child's lived with you that
yeah,
amount of time.
Especially because
yeah.
I have a son who they're only 7 or 8 months apart. So, yeah, there was like, you know, he's like, where's my sister? By then it was like, this
yeah.
is my sister.
Well, yeah, four years in a child's life is a long time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we ask a lot of foster families, kinship families. I mean, we ask them to...
This is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. We ask you to be attached and consider permanency, you know, if it goes in that direction. And then we ask you to work towards reunification
yeah.
at the same time. And those things can be really difficult to do at the same time. But the reality is that's what we ask of the system. And I think... You know, the other thing is that the system should be looking, their first priority should be is reunification.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that gets enough attention. People hear a lot about adoption and other things, but the majority of children that are in foster care do go home.
Yeah.
And that is our first priority. And that is where CASA can come in, you know, into play. They see that relationship between that child and that biological parent, and they can be the one saying, this is a relationship that we need to do everything we can to repair, because that's in the best interest of the child. So I think that's an important point to get out there too, that, you know, we are working with the entire system, and that includes the parents, no matter what that, you know, matter what has happened that led to their child entering the foster care system.
Well, thank you.
Thank you,
ladies.
So much.
Again,
so
we have Happy Grillin and Yael Liner here from CASA Philadelphia. We thank you, ladies, for coming and educating us on the foster care system and the ins and outs of it. And
your website, one more time.
Our website, one more time, is casaphiladelphia.org. Thank you for the opportunities.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies, so much. We really appreciate having you here today. We're excited to meet you, Yael, and it's always good to see you happy. So, again, this is Friends on 15th podcast. We're coming to you from the Quaker Hub for Peace and Justice. If you are looking to book an event or just come check us out, feel free to visit our website at www.friendcentercorp.org or give us a call 215-241-7100. Again, I think Chris and I and Jen would like to thank Happy and the rest of CASA for, number one, being tenants here. And, you know, yes, we appreciate you guys. We love seeing you all the time.
Thank you.
So just before we go, I want to, you know, once again, leave you guys with a quote. And this is from Nelson Mandela. There can be no keener revelation of society's soul than the way in which it treats its children. You all may have heard that quote before, but just by CASA being here and all of the great information that they said, we know that we need to do more for, you know, the kids in our own community. There are ways to help them other than in which we've been doing. So go out there, volunteer, go talk to people, see what you can do for, you know, kids who are in need.
Because they are our future.
They are indeed. Our future.
And our present.
Yes. So thank you, ladies, again, and we will see you next time here on Friends on 15.
See ya.
Bye now.
Bye.